This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Don Wick and Tyler Donaldson as well. Well, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins making an appearance at Commodity Classic. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick is in Denver and has this report.
In a briefing with the agricultural media, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said her department is working on Trump time. That's a reference to the aggressive pace of activity coming from the administration. Rollins was asked about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Make America Healthy Again initiative. She said she is developing a good relationship, a good partnership with RFK.
Perhaps I can spend a little time making sure that he understands that some of the things maybe that he has been told or believed or has read isn't entirely accurate, and the importance of ensuring that our farmers and our ranchers and that really America understands the importance of things like pesticides and others to ensure that we are able to continue to feed America and, frankly, to feed the world.
Regarding the downsizing of government, Rollins said mistakes have been made.
I was down at the Borlaug Institute in College Station on Friday, looking at all of their great researchers, and the three scientists that greeted me, the world's most renowned agriculture researchers that the Borlaug Institute and Texas A&M had recruited, were also given the pink slip. But within a few days or a week, they too were brought back. So that is, I think, a really important part of this, is we're moving at Trump speed, that there will be some mistakes made, and that we will fully take responsibility for it and recognize it when that happens.
Our coverage from Commodity Classic being made possible by the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. From Denver and Commodity Classic, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Here at the 2025 Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado, at the American Soybean Association delegate meeting, speaking with ASA President Caleb Ragland. Caleb, there's a lot going on in today's current political climate here. Talk to me a little bit about some of the policy issues that you guys discussed at your delegate meeting and what some of the highlights are for you here.
The major things we're talking about is it's just little tweaks, whether it be biofuels or biotechnology. We're just trying, it's a living document, and it's always evolving, there's emerging issues, but the heart and soul of our policy remains solid. That's the beauty of it. It can be amended, but it's also there as a solid guiding force that gives our folks that are working in Washington the guidance that they need, and it's a document that just basically is our guiding light day to day as we work on behalf of the American soybean farmer.
You mentioned biofuels, sustainable aviation fuels and such. How big of an opportunity is that for soybean growers here in America?
There's huge opportunity with sustainable aviation fuel. It's not a fix that's going to change things tomorrow, but every day we get closer. And it is just an awesome opportunity to dramatically grow demand for our soy. To keep that money here domestically. It's good not only for the American soybean farmer, it's good for America and our economy as a whole. It's good for rural America. And that's a wonderful thing because we need a shot in the arm. The takeaway message is the importance of having good policy in place so that when issues arise, we already have a stance on it. Our folks that are working on the Hill every day, they know what direction the members of our American Soybean Association, they know where our membership stands on each issue, and having that in place just gives us the solidarity to move forward and to work to make things better for our industry as a whole.
Coverage of the 2025 Commodity Classic here in Denver, Colorado is brought to you by Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Fieldwork expected to advance rapidly throughout the coming week in a large part of Brazil and Paraguay. World Weather Incorporated says rains will be light and scattered, allowing farming activity to advance. Additional rain is expected to fall on southern Argentina through midweek, improving soil moisture while delaying field work there. World Weather says rain and interruptions to field work will spread into northern Argentina by week's end, with the driest portions of northern Argentina seeing some relief. More rain, though, will be needed, with much of the rain being light and widely scattered.
A significant storm system will occur tonight into Wednesday with a mix of rain and snow stretching from eastern Nebraska and eastern South Dakota to central and northern Wisconsin. World Weather Incorporated says 1 to 3 inches of moisture will occur in that region. Some snow and rain will occur across the northern plains Tuesday, with moisture totals varying from a trace to a quarter of an inch.
According to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, U.S. experienced its warmest year on record in 2024, but it did not result in an agricultural disaster like in 2012. Rippey explained that the warmth was distributed in a way that sparked key agriculture regions from, or rather spared key agriculture regions from keeping extreme heat during critical growing periods.
A lot of the warmth was focused in the off season, so fall, winter, spring, and not necessarily during the summer. So that's why we didn't have a widespread agricultural heat-related disaster in the U.S. in 2024. It wasn't a perfect year, but it wasn't a year like 2012, which was the record that we broke.
Rippey also highlighted concerns about winter wheat condition, especially in parts of the southern Great Plains where dry conditions have persisted despite a brief period of relief.
So we actually hit a peak. 60% of the U.S. winter wheat production area was in drought during planting and establishment season. We hit 60% in late October. So we did have some issues with establishment of the crop. That was especially true in South Dakota, Nebraska. We had some late planting in Oklahoma, so a little bit less established there than we'd like to see by the end of autumn.
Looking ahead to 2025, Rippey warned that drought could intensify in the southwest and spread into the central and southern plains, posing risk to both winter wheat and the summer crops.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says the grains continue to see follow-through pressure as South American harvest and weather improves.
First of the month definitely has some impact. I think also just, the improving weather that we had this past week, and again, looking at forecasts again for this week and then the next week, kind of holding together. Brazil able to continue through their harvest kind of unimpeded right now. Argentina weather improving pretty dramatically. Some recent rains been very beneficial, and crop conditions actually improving.
Livestock market continuing to see some selling pressure.
We opened steady, a little bit of mixed trade, but it didn't take long for both live cattle and feeder cattle to start trading lower again as well. We had cash feedlot trade down another couple bucks again last week. Most of the trade in the south, around 197 live, trade in the north, 198 and 313 on a dress basis. It's been kind of the pattern here for the past couple weeks, definitely providing some pressure and, doing some damage, especially on the live cattle contracts.
Farmers across the country facing growing uncertainty as potential policy changes in Washington could impact bottom lines. Dr. Rob Johansson, Director of Economics and Policy Analysis at the American Sugar Alliance, says sugar beet and sugar cane growers recently met with lawmakers to voice concerns.
Our sugar cane and sugar beet farmers are producing here in the United States very efficiently, meeting high levels of environmental and labor standards. But when those other countries are subsidizing the producers, they can dump a lot of sugar on the world market at lower prices than we could afford to produce here in America.
Another concern for farmers is how tariffs could affect the cost of essential supplies such as fertilizer, pesticides, and equipment. Johansson says tariffs are a double-edged sword.
I understand why, by and large, the farm sector is concerned about how other countries may retaliate against the U.S. imposing tariffs on those countries. But again, those tariffs that the administration is talking about is to make sure other countries are treating our producers, both in the ag sector but other sectors, fairly, and I think that is something all farmers understand, and they're willing to do their part to make sure that that works, just in order to put America back on a sort of a fair playing field when it comes to exports and imports as well.
U.S. livestock groups of all kinds watching for potential tariffs and the possible effect on producers' bottom lines. Buck Wehrbein, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says they're watching to see what happens next.
Tariffs are interesting because President Trump in his first term believed in them. And what did he say? Beautiful word, you know, tariffs. I think our position needs to be that he ran on that. He said he was going to use them and for different reasons, and we need to let it play out and give it a chance to see how it works for him.
While he has concerns, cattlemen are waiting to see what happens.
Tariffs are an economic issue, correct? And I'm not sure any of us totally understand economics. And if you do A, will B happen? And so we're concerned. I run a feedlot. I get paid to worry, and I'm good at it. And so I worry about this too, but I'm willing to give it a chance. It worked okay during the first Trump administration, so we'll give it some time.
President Trump says he's moving forward with tariffs on Canadian and Mexican imported goods. Trump says the foreign countries have ripped off the U.S. for far too long, and it's time to put a stop to it. Answering a reporter's question at the White House, Trump confirmed that tariffs on Mexican and Canadian goods are proceeding right on schedule.
Next week, there's a key deadline for your Canada and Mexico tariffs. Do you expect those will go back on, or do you believe those countries have done enough on the border to stop those from taking effect?
We're on time with the tariffs, and it seems like that's moving along very rapidly. We've been mistreated very badly by many countries, not just Canada and Mexico. The tariffs are going forward on time, on schedule.
President Trump's comments about tariffs and annexing Canada as a state have caused a sharp backlash in Canada with widespread consumer boycotting of American products. Gary Sands, president of the Canadian Independent Grocers Association, says the consumers are not just ignoring American products, but many food shoppers are demanding their grocers put Canadian food products front and center.
The demand that we are seeing, and I use the word demand deliberately because that's what our members are getting from consumers. They're not asking for more Canadian, they're demanding more Canadian products.
Inside agriculture now on the Red River Farm Network. Well, the pace of change in Washington with the new administration is staggering. American Soybean Growers Association Chairman Josh Gackel cites the downsizing in the government workforce.
You know, we're hearing that how that's going to impact our local FSA offices, just folks that we work with, that we engage with on a pretty regular basis. So I'm sure we'll talk about that. I'm sure we'll talk about other concerns from different parts of the government when it comes to pesticide use and the Make America Healthy Again movement and the what's going on with that, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and some of the positions he's taking on agriculture that we have some concern about. So I think you know, we're going to be open and upfront and talk about what those concerns are and how they impact us on our operations.
Gackel, who farms at Cullom, North Dakota, says all these issues are being discussed at Commodity Classic. The impact of a trade war in 2018 also remains top of mind.
We heard the news of the tariffs and the possible retaliation from China at a Commodity Classic event, but we remember what happened then and what it did, you know, to the immediate market and the effect on prices and the effect on profitability. But the long-term damage that had done back then, and you know, telling China that U.S. is maybe not the most reliable supplier, and then China investing in Brazil and other countries in order to source soybeans and protein, and those impacts, we're still trying to recover from that.
Taking a look at futures quotes here, and as we close today, looking at the Minneapolis wheat now in May, we're down 6 3/4 at 591. We have July down 7 6/04. In Chicago, the May is down 8 1/2 at 547 1/4. Kansas City May down 11 1/4, now at 561 3/4. May corn is down 12 3/4 at 456 3/4. December corn is down 3 1/4 right now, and at 451 3/4. May soybeans down 14 now at 10 11 3/4. July down 13 3/4 at 10.26. And November soybeans now down a dime, 10.19 1/2. Looking at the livestock numbers here, we have April live cattle down 45 cents, 192.20. June is down 70 at 188.07. Feeder cattle, April is down a buck at 272. May down 97 cents at 270.15. April lean hogs up 12 at 83.80. This is the Red River Farm Network.